irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, please continue to help spread the word that each week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really like you all to do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from today's show. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, happiness, and blessings for you and your family. And we will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, before we get to our guests, I've got a special thank you to all of you that take your precious time to listen to this show, and especially those that are sending in questions and comments, as well as suggestions. Please remember, this show exists for you. Now, John Updike stated, "We are most alive when we are in love." And an unknown author is quoted as saying, "You don't marry someone you can live with, you marry somebody you can't live without." Well, our guest today, Evan Money, PhD, has been happily married 26 times. Now let's pause. Let's pause while that sinks in a moment. Okay. He's a number one best-selling author, filmmaker, and global entrepreneur. Evan and his bride, Susan, remarry in a different state or country every year. And I love that. Evan's newest film, Words of Art, stars Joel Osteen, Darren Hardy, Tom and Zig Ziglar, Mark Batterson, and Dennis Waitley, and it can be experienced on Amazon Prime right now. Now, Evan and Susan are on a quest to empower 20 million marriages this year through their speaking and online courses. Now, Evan personally coaches select entrepreneurs and world changers in the principles of having life to the full. Evan, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Okay. With all this COVID-19 stuff, I was actually looking forward to getting on the Los Angeles freeways to come see you, but we have to do it virtually, so we will make the best of it and we will deliver.
Absolutely. So let's start with, how did getting remarried every year in a different state or country get started?
Well, the simple truth, Alan, it got started in pain. And it was pain from my normal dysfunctional family. You know, raise your hand if you can relate to that. And all I saw growing, and I don't know for anyone else, but I'm born and raised here in Los Angeles. So all I saw when it came to marriage relationships from my family, from friends, from just looking around, was you had three options. You could be married and miserable, you could be divorced and desperate, or you could be single and cynical. And I was like, I cannot live that way. There's got to be something out there. There has to be something better. And some people used to make fun of me and said, "Oh, have you been to Disneyland one too many times or watched too many Disney movies?" But I was like, I know happily ever after is out there and it's possible. And I knew people experienced it for like little windows, but then for whatever reason, all fell apart or whatever. So I went on this quest, and my bride and I, you know, early on getting married, I addressed this to her, and she was like, "Oh, yeah, that sounds good." And, you know, so we went on this quest, and we're trying to find this happily ever place, Alan. Like, it's out here somewhere. Maybe it's in Huntington Beach by you. You know, maybe it's Manhattan Beach. Maybe it's over here. You know, it's got to be a beach, right? So we're looking for it, and then we realized it wasn't a place to be found. Rather, it was a place that we created with our actions and our attitudes. And it was like, oh, wow. You mean it's on me. I have to take the responsibility for this consistent happily ever after. And so that was kind of the beginning, but where it all happened, because a lot of people are wondering, you know, and real quick, ADD segue. Yes, this really is my hair, for those that were wondering about that. We can't all look as good as Alan. I mean, come on. So, but with that, my bride and I, we went to a early on in our marriage. We were, before I was Evan Money, I was Evan No Money. And we were beyond broke. You know, nowadays it's a little easier to get in debt and there's, you know, you can go way past, you know, zero. But back when we first got married, it was a lot harder to do that. So we were super struggling, but we knew in order for things to change, we had to change, Alan. So we started going to seminars and saying, hey, how can we improve this? What can we do? And at this Dream Big Seminar, that was the name, right? Dream Big Seminar. My bride caught the vision from a speaker who was just telling a story about an author that he heard about. So this was like, you know, just a story I heard, right? He was sharing from stage. There was this author that got remarried every year on their anniversary. And so my bride looks at me, Alan, and is like, I want to do that. And she came from a much different background than I came from. I mean, she had luxuries like food and gas in the car and things like that that was a dream at the point where we're at. I still remember one of my biggest discussions, high volume discussions with my bride is when we first got married, she filled up the gas tank. And I was like, what are you doing? You can't afford that. Just put $2 in. We'll be fine. So we're at that state. And she looks at me and she says, I want to get remarried in a different state or country every year. And I'm like, oh, why did I open my big mouth and say, yeah, I want to be happily ever after and all this stuff. But I knew enough, Alan, not to steal her dream. So I'm nodding on the outside, yes. But I'm panicked on the inside. Like,
how am I going to make this happen?
Yes, exactly. Like I'm newlywed, right? Like I've got to come through. So what are we going to do? And so I come from a very, you know, when there's no money in the house and all that stuff, it's all about survival, right? And you get really creative. So I was like, all right, what can we do? So in my mind, Alan, all I could think of was here. We're living here in Southern California. All I could think of was a different country or state. I didn't have a passport. You know, I'm just like, what are we going to do? And I was like, I got it. So I didn't tell her this, but in my mind, I was like, we'll go to Tijuana, Mexico. Wedding destination capital of the world, you know, and for Tijuana, it was all about cheap, right? I don't have any money, so we'll be able to afford that at least, right? Maybe we'll get a pinata. And that was like as far as I could think. Pinata and a fish dinner. That was about it. So here's how amazing God works. And I think he just really honored our intention, but also felt sorry for us. So after he stopped laughing at me and my nonsense, our first actual wedding anniversary. So I'm planning this Tijuana thing. And we ended up, Alan, winning an all-expense-paid trip to Paris, France.
Wow.
And yes, our first anniversary, our first remarriage was at the Palace of Versailles, of all places. So all 700,000 square feet of it, if you're familiar. And that's bigger than Costco. Yes. So I went from Tijuana to Palace of Versailles. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Wow. And it was just like, okay, God, what else do you got? I'm in for this. Let's go on this ride. And so it's been an adventure, but it started with the humblest. And again, that vision got cast for like, okay, if this isn't Disney, right? Palace of Versailles, you know, what is? So that kind of set the tone and we've been intentional and consistent ever since.
Well, first of all, I want you to know, I absolutely love it. And one of the things that I love is that we've sort of created this society to where people want to shoot those dreams down. I mean, we have a media that is, if it bleeds, it leads. You have to make sure that it's, you know, the most negative thing possible, is what everybody wants to talk about. And even when it comes to marriage, you know, if you're talking to people, if you have a group of guys that go out and you find that it's not positive. I mean, even the jokes, you know, if you watch, interesting now, because we're homebound, I'm watching more old shows that I used to watch when I was younger. Mm. And the butt of the jokes are how a bad marriage is. You know, if you remember, remember Cheers. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you remember Cheers, there was Norm that sat on the end of the stool. And everything that he did was to complain about his wife, Vera.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And until she left him, you know, so I think that as far as what's being given to us at starting at a very early age is not happily ever after, or even that it's possible. It's just the opposite. And which is why when I met you, I was like, you know, I called my producer. I'm like, this guy has got to be on the show because this is what I believe. You know, I'm all about happily ever after. I've used the term, you know, two people on the Ferris wheel, not the Ferris wheel, the merry-go-round, and both reaching out and being able to grab the brass ring. But it takes both of you to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so to have that mindset and meet you anyway, it was great for me. So, you know, it's nice to know that there are others out there that aren't just talking about it, but that are doing it.
Yes. And that's the key. And I learned this from actually T.D. Jakes pointed this out. And I was like, gosh, he was so simple, but he was right. Because I look at it in my life and some of the other things. In order for real transformation, because I know there's a lot of couples out there that are like, oh, that's great for you, but we're just like hanging on barely here. Yep. And so we're definitely here to give you hope. But what I realized was in order for true transformation, people need an example. They have to see someone that's done it you know, for a sustained amount of time. Like, wow, maybe that's possible for me. I just watched again, you know, we're getting creative on what's available, right? And rewatching stuff. So I rewatched this old clip and I'm a football guy. So there was a NFL clip of a SoCal kid, Tony Gonzalez, who's like the best ever tight end. Yeah. And he was sharing how there was Anthony Munoz, who was this famous lineman.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah. And he said it clicked for him as a kid because he's like, wow, he's Latino and I'm Latino. So maybe I can play in the NFL. And it was just like, hey, there's an example. There's somebody doing it. And I look at all like American Idol or some of these other things. It's like, hey, I'm coming on the show because I saw last season this guy come on and he's like me. And so my Brian and I really realized that, hey, this is really for us about setting an example, letting people know, again, like it is possible. Because like you said, you know, it doesn't matter the show, right? Cheers, Married with Children. I don't even know the new shows now. We don't even watch any of that stuff. But it's always, you know, bad when it comes to marriage. And we're like, we need to get around people to see, hey, wow, I was at this event. I was talking to this Evan Money guy and he started talking about his bride and he's been married 27 times. And oh my gosh. And that just is able to shift the narrative for people. And so just being that living example. And that also keeps it real because it's like, oh, when those times I don't feel like being an example, I get to say, is this the example I want to leave to my kids, let alone you know, the rest of the world? So I'm like, all right, I need to shift my attitude here and say, yes, honey, I would love to do the dishes.
Well, now I just heard you say 27 times. Does that mean you've gotten married again since I saw you?
Yes. So we are planning. Yes, we're planning number 27.
Okay.
Since you saw me, I'm trying to remember how long ago. I don't know if I saw you before or after our, we did Australia. So I'm trying to remember if that was before.
It was the, I saw you at the City Summit.
Yes. Oh, so was that this year? Was that 2020?
Yeah, that was this year. City
okay.
Summit.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so no, I have not, but we've been
okay.
Planning, eagerly planning.
The 27th yes. one now.
Yes.
Perfect. I love it. So I know that there's more to you than just being married, although you're doing a great job of that. So share a little bit about how you can thrive in your marriage without it really compromising your business or success. And I can speak from a personal standpoint in saying that I really think that part of my own divorce situation was my inability to balance everything and to provide the attention that was necessary everywhere it needed to. And also in coming from a generation where we were raised to say you are measured by how well you by how you provide for your family.
Yeah.
And so if you're not out there, quote, busting your butt making money, you're not a good provider. And I've learned more since then, but share a little bit of some of your things that have allowed you to balance these things so well.
Yeah, and that's, again, such a great question, Alan, because it really, again, looking at the examples that we saw, right? All we saw was it was implied, right? Hey, good fathers are good providers, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to be home. You just need to mail in the check, right?
Yep.
So we heard that, we saw that, and then you go to the office. And it's all about, again, guys, right? We love competition and, oh, I'm going to get the sales record. I'm going to grow, scale the business and da, da, da. It's so easy. And men, of course, we identify with our jobs or businesses. Mm-hmm. Classic, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a, you know, entrepreneur, I'm a this, I'm a founder, right? And so we have so much, and then we get so much praise, right? Because we get all the praise and all the kudos. And the other thing I realize is in a corporate environment, you know, when you show up to work, back when we used to do that, remember?
Yeah.
when you show up in a corporate environment, how are all the women dressed? I mean, their hair is perfect. They got makeup on. They got the heels. They got the suck them in and push them up. You know, they got all that, right? And so everyone's on their best dress, best behavior. And then you go home and guess what? Honey's got the sweats on and the hair's like, and you're the same way. Rip off the tie. And I started looking at that narrative of just like, no wonder, right? Like, no wonder. It's like, and it's so easy because that's the example. That's right. All you see. That's all everybody else is doing. And so the big thing that you mentioned, there's that B word, to me is a cuss word called balance.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily a cuss word, but it just in a marriage and a business, because as a business owner, mm-hmm. even as a employee, that word does not exist. It you're looking for, how long are you going to look for something that's not there?
Right.
And that's what drives people crazy. Like I'm trying to find the balance. Well, it doesn't exist. It's like the alchemists, right? Like, I'm going to turn this piece of copper into gold, you know? And people laugh now, and it's just like, well, that's what they were thinking. So I think balance is the modern day alchemy. Like, thinking you can actually balance that. I mean, just look at the numbers, right? Like, okay, normal, you know, pre-COVID, right?
Yeah.
From the time you wake up, you know, you've got 1 to 2 to 3 hours before you get to work. And all that time is spent getting ready to work, commuting for work, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. You get to work, whether you're a business owner, employed, whatever. Then you spend the majority of your daytime bandwidth at work, right? And then you spend another 30, 40 out, whatever, coming home, right? So how, with that time structure, how can there be any balance? And then if you want to go backwards to the family, people, know some people watching and listening that have newborns in the house.
Yep.
Tell me about all the balance you're having. That's like, what are you talking about? Balance, no balance. But then you get to the toddlers and the terrific twos, and no matter what stage, there's never any balance. As even as a functional parent, semi-functional, you know, normal dysfunctional parenting unit, there is no balance. You know, and then as we grow up, right? Just look at college, right? Oh yeah, back when people used to go to college, right? Go to college, tell me about all the sleep you're getting, right? Where's all the balance there, right? So in every stage of life, there is no balance. So here's what I've discovered, that there is a way to create harmony. And I'm not talking harmony like airy-fairy did. I'm talking about like musical harmony where the notes are flowing. And in any harmonious music, you got highs, right? And you got lows and you got mid-range. I mean, if you've ever looked at sheet music, Alan, I know that's a foreign concept to a lot of the electronic world now, but you look at sheet music and notes and there's no order to it, right? It's chaos, mm-hmm. right? Even if you know what you're looking for, the notes are everywhere. It's like, what am I looking at? But when you sit down and play it, right, you can create this harmony. So this hit me as I took the kids, my bride and I had a great experiment, Alan. We said, hey, let's take the kids to the LA Philharmonic and see how long they'll last. You know,
how old were they at this point?
They were like 6 and 8 or 6 and 9. Mm-hmm. So they were young. We're like, hey, if we can make it, it'll be a win if we can make it to the intermission. That was our goal. And there were some Disney songs on the docket. So we're like, okay. Yeah. But they ended up making it through the whole thing. But as I got there and I sat down, I heard the, you know, and I'm not the most cultured guy, as you can tell by my language vernacular, but I'm sitting in this amazing auditorium, right? And I'm watching and listening as they warm up, right? And there was not any harmony. There were these crazy sounds and nothing was mixing. And then I actually started counting. I'm like, wow, there's like 7 violins, but there's only 1 tuba. Or, you know, there's 1 big drum, but there's 8 of these things. And so the numbers were unbalanced. The sounds were unbalanced, right? There was no balance whatsoever. But as soon as the conductor got up and everybody was on the same sheet music, there was harmony.
Yep.
And I was like, that's just like life. Because I look at people we have 2 amazing young adults now. I look at people with 10 kids, you know, 7 kids, and it's always like, man, how do they do that? Okay. They've got different sheet music than I do. You know, our 2 kids, we're homeschooled, home office, home lifestyle pre-COVID. We've been doing this for 15 years. People are like, Evan, how are you holding up? I'm like, this is our normal. We're always like this, right? Mm-hmm. So, but everyone's got different sheet music. So what we get the ability to do to, we can eradicate the balance lie and look at harmony and say, okay, here's my notes. Here's Honey's notes. Here's the kids' notes. How do we put these on some sheet music and all create harmony together? Because the last thing you want to do, which is what a lot of guys fall into, is this, okay, I'm at work feeling guilty because I think I should be at home.
Right.
Or I'm at home feeling guilty because I've got all this work I've got to do, right? And it's like, no, we need to create this harmony that, hey, in some seasons, like if you're a CPA, you know what? we've got a season, right? Yeah. And no matter what, it's just like, how do we create these notes? But the real key, Alan, is this, what I really learned, and this is the key about writing the notes down together, is that most couples just go through life together, but the real magic and the real goal is to grow through life together. So if you can grow together, like you said, I love that analogy where you're both reaching for the brass ring together. Rather than letting that person, like, you know, in a merry-go-round, right, you're at least locked in. But too much in life, the other person gets farther and farther away, and now you're reaching for different rings. So mm-hmm. It's like, how do we stay together and get that same ring? And it's about sitting down and writing your own music out together and creating that harmony that is available, unlike, you know, balance, which isn't. And if you, again, the more you search for balance, the more pain you're going to have. But the more you search for harmony, the more blessed you're going to be.
Yep. Well, first of all, I love the fact that you also brought up in regards to your kids, because to me, that's a huge part of this too. In other words, it's great to be able to, you know, you get married all these times, and that's only part of the relationship. When you have kids, you have that part of the relationship. And I think I've told this story on the air, but I was fortunate. I was a room dad before they had room dads. Because the form said, when I went in with my oldest, who's now 25, but I went into kindergarten, so it's 20 years ago, and there was a form that said room moms, and I just filled one out. And it didn't matter what it said, I just filled one out, and they came back, and the very next time they said, well, we want to announce that we're changing the form to be room parent.
Yes.
You know, and we're going to have Mr. Cardoza as one of our room parents.
Yes. So, Alan, the change agent. I love it.
But I loved it. But it wasn't that I was trying to change anything. I just wanted to make sure that I was there with them. Mm. And I have a story that goes with it that really hits home. I used to take my little group, because they would split us up into groups of about five kids. But I would take mine outside the classroom, and we'd all carry our chairs because we live in Huntington Beach. And so we'd set the chairs out, and we would go through and do reading or whatever the assignment the teacher gave. And I had a young man that kind of stopped the reading and said, I wish my dad was retired like you.
Mm.
And I said, I'm not retired. You know, I did get gray hair early, but I wasn't retired yet. But anyway, so, and I said, well, I'm not retired. Why do you think? And they said, well, my dad leaves to go to work before I get up in the morning.
Mm.
And he gets home after I go to bed.
Mm.
So sometimes I wake up when he gives me a kiss on my forehead. But other than that, I only see him on the weekends.
Mm.
And so, you know, when you talk about this, you know, of where are we putting our time?
Mm-hmm.
What is important to us? And that's why I said, I'm glad that when you brought up the part about the kids, you know, how do you make all of this work in a marriage, but you've also made sure that it worked with the kids, which is huge to me. So share a little bit about how you and your bride decided that homeschooling and all of the things that made it work for the whole family, not just the two of you.
Ah, well, I have to be, again, I love full transparency, and especially with guys, you typically, in the beginning, you have to go bone marrow deep with a guy, otherwise you just stay at the surface forever. So I'm going to give full transparency, because at the height of our homeschooling journey, my bride and I would look at the neighbor kids watching them walk to school, and we're just like, man, that looks really good right now. Like, can we be done with this and just send them off? I'm just like at my wit's end, you know, kind of thing. But we made that commitment early on based on your story of my bride came from, again, a normal dysfunctional family. And we're doing our best to realize, you know, but again, her parent, and to honor her parents, they did the best they could. They came from that provider mindset. It was all about providing. And so, you know, we were like, gosh, you know, what if we were actually there? What would that be like, you know, to give them our time? And also, I come from a rebel mentality of, hey, I've, you know, there's a great LA, KFI's on KFI, but it's his story, but I love to tell it because I too was incarcerated for 12 years in the LA County school system. So, you know, why were there fences at school? Why can't I leave? Right? Why do I? Right? So I was just so oppressed for me. Like, public school was not a good thing for me. I know some people thrive in that. But my bride and I kind of made that decision of like, hey, you know what? Her parents were never around. I was, you know, my parents were never around. What if we were actually around? What would that look like? And homeschooling gave us that option. And for us, going back to what I said earlier, was there was a couple at church. They adopted, I think, 7 or 8 kids. And they homeschooled them all. And we kind of knew them from a distance. So, like, they would show up every week. And we're like, wow, they're all still alive. It's like, oh, okay. It's you know, and they were clean and bathed. And they were smiling. And I was like, okay, they're, you know. And so we kind of got, you know, we knew them, but, you know, just, but they were the example. I'm like, well, if they can adopt 6 or 7 kids in homeschool, and surely we could, like, two, right? So that's what gave us hope to actually attempt it. And then we realized there's all these support communities and all this. So that was our intention going in because we wanted the time with them. And like you talked about earlier, like the provider mindset, right? So for all those providers, just ask yourself this question. What am I providing exactly? You know, what is it that's really beneficial? So for us, it was like, hey, we want to be around the kids. We want to be the ones educating them. And there are those times, absolutely, where, hey, mom and dad are going for a walk. Just stay in your room. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so going through this journey, but that's kind of part of it because, you know, I'm watching The Last Dance, the thing on ESPN about the Chicago Bulls and the sixth thing. And what's interesting about it is everybody knows the championships. Oh, yeah, Michael Jordan, the champion. Oh, yeah, the confetti. And oh, yeah, the celebration. But very few people talk about the process, right? No one ever, you never see the sweating in the gym, right? Because we just see the end result. And I think it's the same with parenting, right? With parenting, there are no, very few people will show you them sweating in the gym with their kids. That's why I'm excited you asked that. There are times where my bride and I are in the gym sweating going, I don't want to exercise anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. This is not fun. This is not what I signed up for. Understanding it's that process. Yep. And we want the golden prize of, like you said, where, you know, my kids, for better or for worse, I don't mind whatsoever, Alan. If my kids, you're age, you know, 25, 30 in therapy going, yeah, my parents just got married all the time. They're always loving each other and kissing each other. And they're always around us. And I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Rather than the, I, you know, again, I never saw my dad kind of thing. So we chose that intentionally. And yeah, it, for all the homeschooling parents, and I love now this pause, this COVID-19, every parent is like, wow, teachers need a raise, you know, to put up with this, all this stuff's going on. But there are some parents that are going, you know what? You know, now that it's, we're past going back to school, right? There are some parents that are going, wow, you know what? Maybe we can do this. Yeah. You know, maybe it doesn't make sense to be around them more. And although you may get the acting out and the high volume discussions and all this, but there's a lot of kids that are absolutely celebrating inside because I get my parents. I finally get to be around them and there's no distractions, right? Like our neighborhood, everybody's out walking.
Yeah.
And it's like that, the kids never got to do that. It was like, I'm taking a walk with mom and dad. Just imagine these discussions that are happening. So I think it's just a glorious time, but yeah, it was an intention in the beginning and there is a process and that's what makes the ring, the championship, the whatever, the proud, that's what makes it worth it. So again, never want to minimize the process. So parents, homeschool parents and parents, I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, as you know, we just had Easter and a friend of mine talked about what her neighborhood did, which I thought was incredible because we know that kids like Easter egg hunts and things like that. So what they did was they communicated amongst themselves within like Nextdoor, one of the neighborhood websites, and they all put pictures of different eggs in the windows. And so the kids with their phones and stuff would go and found the most eggs, they would go up and take a picture of that one, or they would draw with chalk on the sidewalk and the kids would drive, would go by, take a picture of that. But so they got creative. Families went out together doing just what they were doing. They'd walk to the park or whatever, but through the neighborhood, they would all then get back and say, you know, look at all of these beautiful pictures of very creatively done eggs that they found. So anyway, I was really impressed with the fact that, you know, we're figuring out ways to do things.
Yes.
And so that's great. So, so for everybody out there, it's okay. We're talking with Evan Money. And if you wanted to follow along with us, you wanted to go to their website, it's happilyeverafterbook.org. All right. So we're going to take a break, but stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
All right, we're back, and we are talking with Evan Money. And again, if you guys wanted to follow along, you can go to his website. Obviously, if you're driving, don't try this. But you can go to happilyeverafterbook.org. You can follow along with us or learn more about everything that Evan is doing. But one of my questions, Evan, is I was amazed to read about it. Tell us more about your quest to empower 20 million marriages.
Yeah, so I was, you know, at the end of the year, right, it's all about resetting goals. And I'm a big fan of goals, but also goals need to be flexible and understanding that, you know, there's good goals, there's toxic goals, there's all kinds of this stuff. But at the core, you know, without a basketball hoop, how are you going to know if the shot went in, right? So you need to have something to aim for. So, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, let me think about, you know, we thought about, gosh, we really want to help impact more people. So let's set a goal, right? So my first thing was like a super low safe number. And then I was like, you know what? I need something so big that it can't be me. God's got to take over. So I was like, okay, 2020, 20 million. That's a big, scary number. So yeah. I started, first time I said it, I was like, I can't believe I said it out loud. Oh my gosh, because it was so scary. So now I'm still uncomfortable with it because I don't know how it's going to happen. I have my ideas, right? And I love the joke, right? Man plans and God laughs. So I'm wide open to saying, okay, how are we going to pull this off? But I just need to work on my part and say, okay, what can I do? You know, what's the something that I can do? As Helen Keller says, one of my favorite quotes, you know, I can't do everything, but I can do something. What's the something I can do? So yeah, we set this big, super scary goal and we're like, well, let's see what's going to happen. Because I realize I look at my, you know, my normal dysfunctional family, both my parents remarried multiple times. Mm-hmm. And just this cycle, right? Just the next one, the next one, the next one. And I look at, you know, the dysfunction, you know, and some of the challenges that my bride's family went through, because again, they were just trying to provide. And they're like, you know, we're doing the best we can. And they were excellent providers. But my bride was like, man, I wish I had more time with you guys. Yeah. So we get lots of time with them now, which is fun. Mm-hmm. But it was like, okay, let's set this quest to really encourage other people to say, you know what, it is possible. It is out there. And so one thing when it comes to, you know, a lot of people struggle with, you know, what's my purpose? You know, how do I know what I'm designed for? You know, what's going on? And so one thing that really resonated with me was kind of this threefold triangle, like trying to fit yourself in the middle, which is number one, do things that bring you joy. Do things that bring others, that empower others and heal others. Okay. So number one, do something that brings you joy. Because if you don't like doing it, right, you know, for the most part. Okay. So things that bring others inspiration, others healing, and do things that glorify God. And if you can do all of those in one thing, you found it. And so my bride and I, we love to teach. We love to share. We love to say, hey, here's all the stupid things we did. And also here's all the things we discovered that made us creating that happily ever after possible and even easier. Right. And so now we're just championing that cause in this stage of life to say, hey, wouldn't it be great to just spend our time traveling around, getting remarried and empowering others to do the same thing. And the more, the better. So now 20 million to me kind of sounds too low. I'm like, you know what? There's more than 20 million married people. What right. if we could reach all married people? And not necessarily you got to do it our way, but just give them hope to say, look, that marriage relationship that you're dreaming about is possible. And if you put a little intention and a little work in, you have it. You really can.
Okay. So what can you tell the listeners right now that will help you with that quest?
I can really share with them, you know, we're both here in Los Angeles, right? And you're Huntington Beach and it's like, ooh, I'm already feeling jealous. And, you know, we're this is not my backyard. This is actually wedding number 23. But I will answer that question specifically by talking about, you know, the biggest room in my house. So we have an amazing house. Life is tremendous. But the biggest room in my house, Alan, is the room for improvement. And wow. So as long as that's the biggest room in my house always, then my marriage is going to be fantastic because it's the only two things I can control. You know, I think this whole COVID-19 thing is so awesome because now everyone that thought they were in control is like, whoa, I can't control anything, right? I thought my stocks were good. I thought the economy was good. I thought, right? No. It's like no control. The only two things you can control are your actions and your attitude. And so once I realized, it was like, you know what? It's really about me working on me. You know, for people, the greatest thing I can help you is in order for your marriage to get better, you need to get better. Mm-hmm. In order for your marriage to improve, you must improve. In order for things to change, you have to change. And I'm talking to me too, because whenever I get in there, I'm like, all right, what do I need to work on? What do I need to work on? So it's really that encompassing mindset of getting out of what I call the doom loop, which is the, well, if she would just, you know, fill in the blank, then I would, you know, if he would just help around the house more, engage with the kids, then I'd be more than happy in the bedroom to be more responsive, right? And it's always this if-then cycle, which is the most destructive cycle in the world. I know you have a lot of high intelligent therapists on the show and, you know, they could do a whole launch on that. It's so funny how we're all spiritually gifted, Alan, on seeing other people's stuff. And when yep. it comes to us, it's like, what are you talking about? I'm talking to you therapists out there of just like, hey, that if then cycle is happening in your marriage. So in order to break that rather than as soon as he apologizes, then I'll, you know, right. It's like, no, it's the biggest room in my house is to room for improvement for me. So if I take responsibility to say, hey, what do I need to work on? How can I apologize? How can I shift this? That was the beginning that changed everything, Alan, was the ability to take responsibility, the ability to respond instead of react, right? And say, look, the biggest challenge in my marriage is me. So I need to work on me. I'm going to work on me only because I can't control my bride. And some of you are at the point going, yeah, I've 20 years. I still can't control it, right? So all I can work on is me. So once I discovered that, that shifted everything. So for everyone listening, if you can just embrace that truth, that will eliminate so much pain in your life. And it's actually a joy to start growing yourself. And then as you change magically, everyone changes around you. It's fabulous.
And you know, it actually makes me think of, I had a friend after I went through a divorce that said, the problem is that you're not writing down what it is that you want. Mm. And so that was his big thing. And so, and he was in his second marriage, but he said he wrote down everything he wanted, and this was so much more successful for him, and it was working for him. So I thought about it, and I went, okay. And I sat down, and I wrote it. I even put it in categories. So I had, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. I mean, had everything written down. Had it all written down, and I thought, okay, this worked for him. This is going to work for me. And I looked at it, and I said, no, this isn't going to work. Mm. It was everything that I was going to look for in someone. And I set that one aside, and I wrote another one that was, who do I need to be to deserve that person that I first loved?
Yes.
And once I wrote that one, things started to happen. Mm. It was just exactly what you said. Who do I need to be? I can control that. I can work on that. So when you said that, I was smiling because I couldn't agree more. So, now, one of the other things that, and I know that you do it, I just kind of glance at the time, and I don't want to miss some of the things I want to touch on. I know that you also do some consulting. And so tell us more about the principles of living the full that you do, and why full and not fullest?
Well, in the ancient, Hebrew and Greek scriptures, there's always talk about, hey, life to the full. You deserve life to the full. You can have life to the full. It is possible. And so I said, I see a lot of people, again, growing up, born and raised in LA, of living life to the full of fake things, or people pretending that they're full, but they're really not, or things that are masking pain and they're trying to pretend, oh yeah, party it up, life to the full. And it's like, that's not life to the full. And I still remember, again, it goes back. It's like the Emperor's New Clothes is really what's going on. A lot of people don't even know what that story is. So I actually retell the story. I call it Jay-Z's New Clothes, and I just make
other people understand what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. And so I actually tell the story with Jay-Z instead of the king, right? No offense to Jay-Z, but it's like, one of the coolest clothes, like he's not wearing any clothes. And so I look at that and, it started in high school. I remember going to a party in high school. And it was like, this is the lamest thing ever. Everybody's getting drunk, pretending to have a great time. And then show up at school on Monday and everyone's like, oh, the party was a rager. It was awesome. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It was the stupidest thing ever. And that kind of set me off. And then I would go, as I got older, I'm like, oh, well, it's got to be in the nightclubs. It's got to be in the party scene and the bars and all that. And I was just like, man, these are all just broken, empty people, this facade, right? And I was like, the classic Hollywood, you get behind the, Universal Studios, you go behind the set, and you just see the boards. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to live that way. I want real life to the full. Yeah. So how do I find that? And so for me, just real short, because I don't know how much time we have, I'll keep it super short. So I addressed it with step one, as we talked about, it's that step one is really like saying, okay, what do I have to work with? And again, going back to Helen Keller, most people have forgotten Helen Keller. But you want to talk about marginalized, she was blind, she was deaf, and she was mute. And her mindset was, what's the something I can do? What can I do? What do I have to work with? And I think at this time, it's so easy, Alan, to fall into this, apathy, right? And I've caught myself, right? Where it's like, there's nothing going on. I'll just watch another show, right? I'll just stream something else. I don't need to work on myself. I don't need to read that book, right? It's like no one else is doing anything. So it's so easy to fall into apathy, but it's like, okay, what's the something I can do? Because that will get me to that life to the full. And, for step number two, it really comes down to taking action now. That's the big thing of like, hey, it's, Mel Robbins talks about the 5-second rule. If you think about it and it doesn't get out of your head in 5 seconds, you're going to talk yourself out of it.
Right.
So it's like, how do I take action instantly on something to get it done? So, and a lot of times you don't have a lot to work with. I share this one quick story. I remember I'm in my early 20s. I'm still Evan, no money, like way beyond no money. And I was the president of the junkie car club. And so my life consisted of fixing my car to get to work to make enough money so I could fix my car again. I mean, that was the cycle. And so here I am, elbows up to grease. I got grease all over me. I wasn't the most cleanest car working guy. And it wasn't that I was into cars. I was just like, the only way I can afford to get this thing to run is for me to figure it out. So I remember getting the Chilton's book and like reading it, trying to figure out, okay, this is broken. I got to do this. So it's 5 minutes to four. I have to be at work at four. I work nights. I work 4 to 12. Valet parking at a fancy hotel. Up to my elbows in grease. And I got 4 minutes to get to work. And work is like 15-minute drive away. So I cleaned up real quick. And I said, what's the something I can do? So I started walking to work, Alan. Now, this is pre-Uber. This is pre-any of this stuff. This is like, I don't, you know, there was no online to get the bus schedule. It was like, I'm just going to start walking. And so I did this. Remember this? Stuck my thumb out. Okay. And I was like, I got to get to work. This is the something I can do. I can at least move forward to getting to work. And I remember sticking my thumb out and I got all kinds of reactions, Alan. This is like, you know, this is early 90s. I'm getting people telling me I'm number one, but with a different finger. I mean, you've been there, right? Yeah. So I'm getting all kinds of stuff. And lo and behold, a trash truck, Alan, pulls off the road. And this trash truck driver goes, what are you doing, man? I'm like, dude, I just got to get to work. And I think there was this meeting of the minds of that blue collar mentality of like, hey, hop in. And as you know, trash trucks aren't built for two, right? So I'm like crammed in the trash truck sitting on top of the battery, right? Like if I sat down all the way, I'd have some kind of, you know, 12 volt enema or something. So I'm just covering and driving. And people are looking like, who's the dude in the bow tie and the red vest going in the trash truck? So we get to the fancy hotel, right? And the trash truck driver in his grace is like, hey, do you want me to drop you off at the corner so you can run to work? I go, no, man, let's drive all the way in. So we pull up in front of the fancy lights and the porte cachet, and jump out of the truck. And everybody's like, man, what are you doing, man? What's the job? I'm like, dude, I had to get to work. So it's about, what's the something I can do? Taking action now. And the third one I love that has been a struggle, but about life to the full really comes down to our integrity level. And say it with me if you remember this, Alan. I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's in a court of law, right? Yep. And yet in the world, we do everything but, right? And especially, you know, for the parents and the therapists, and we got caught up in it too with my bride and our daughter. We had an adoption. We did an open adoption, but we didn't reveal everything to our daughter right away. And so we try to, I'm going to protect this person by not telling them the truth. Or I'm just going to tell a white lie, right? Let me translate. That's a lie, right? There is no gauge of lies. So using your full integrity brings something out of you that allows you the freedom to have life to the full. So instead of slanting the narrative, I'm not going to tell this or tell this, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And then the fourth thing for life to the full, and again, these are deep subjects I cover with people, like we addressed, is taking responsibility. The ultimate maturity in life and in personal growth is taking responsibility. Full responsibility. And we're experts at the blame game, right? We blame the weather. We blame the economy. We blame the White House. We blame whatever, right? There's always somebody to blame because it can't be my fault. Right. And once you finally take full responsibility, man, everything shifts. Everything lifts off you. And so working on those core principles really brings people to life to the full. And again, I'm not the master. I struggle with them. But when I'm in those areas, it's like, man, this is incredible. And then you couple that with a thriving marriage and sex life, it's like, woohoo!
Exactly. It's a great reminder for everybody. And we are just about out of time. We have a couple of questions that have come in from listeners.
Oh, yes.
What I'd like to do, and I haven't done this before, but we probably don't have time to go into full answers. But could you put some on your website so people can now go to your website to get the answers as well?
Sure.
Okay. So again, for everybody out there, it's happilyeverafterbook.org.
Oh, well, I'll put it in a different spot real quick. So they can go to evanmoney.com.
Okay, evanmoney.com.
And I'll do a specific blog when you send me these questions. But let's answer a few at least.
So I'm going to say them now. But
okay.
Anyway, so one says, it says, my son and his wife are on the brink of splitting up. I have never seen him so upset and impossible to talk to. He bursts into our house to vent about their most recent argument. And unless we stay quiet and just listen, he bolts out of the house as quickly as he came in. The current stay-at-home situation has escalated his anxiety. We are desperate to help him, and I was wondering how we might introduce your book to him in a way that would that he would be receptive to it. Thanks so much. This is from Ben in Iowa.
Ooh, Ben in Iowa. I'll give you a 45-second-ish that'll really help you. So number one, and this is for everybody listening. Yeah. Number one, the only way you can feel fear and anxiety, so I'm talking about you, yeah, not your son, but you and us. The only way we feel fear and anxiety is when we're thinking about the future. You cannot have fear and anxiety if you're thinking about right now.
The present.
Yes, the right, again, in the present. So you get, you know, regret when you think about the past, but whenever you have fear and anxiety, you're always thinking about the future. So it's about how do I talk about right now? So that's number one when it comes to fear and anxiety. But as far as helping your son, yeah, and I get it. As a parent, you're like, oh, I want to, oh, and I know. I'm just like, ah. So yeah, there's no subtle way. Here, son, read this book. The best thing I would encourage you to do, an instant solution for your son, is find out what his love language is and speak it. So whenever he comes over, all you're going to do is fill his love tank. That's it. That's all you have to do. If you just fill his love tank and help him discover that, everything will shift and change. Because once his love tank is full, everything's going to change. He'll feel more secure. He'll feel more open. He'll be more willing to take responsibility. But if he's got an empty love tank and he's screaming out, fill the love tank. That's all you need to do.
All right. And I got one more. This one says, my husband traveled a great deal with his job for 20 years. And we had a very stable and warm relationship during that time. It's interesting to me that stable, interesting word. It says, a year and a half ago, he retired and slowly has become distant and sometimes mean and nasty to me. I have remained calm throughout. And it's in parentheses, believe it or not. but finally, I told him that if he has fallen out of love with me, perhaps we need to seriously discuss what to do next, because this is not working for either of us. A bit shocked, he stopped being mean, but he is still indifferent, as he is just, it appears as though he's just tolerating me. So how would your book help me? I will order it tomorrow. If there's a chance, it will help me help us. That's from Tara in Malibu.
Yes. So the good news is that link that you've given everyone, happilyeverafterbook.org, the book is free on the website. Yeah. So it's $17 on Amazon, but because you're listening to Alan's show, you get it free on the website. We just asked for a cup of coffee's worth of shipping and handling. But the book is going to help you work on you. Again, it's not about them. It's about you. However, I will address this, mm-hmm, this challenge. Okay. Men, by definition...
But we ran out of time to do it here. Oh. I just want to make sure that they do it in the sense of, okay, if they want to get the book, go to happilyeverafterbook.org.
Yes.
If they want to go to your blog, go to evanmoney.com.
Evanmoney.com and click on blog. Yep. And I will answer that question. Do you have any time? Or are we done?
No, we really need to go.
Okay.
And I just need to introduce the last show, but I just really want to first thank you. I want to acknowledge you for everything that you're doing. And yes, I do want to catch up more after this. And where is the next marriage?
We were trying to go somewhere. And all of a sudden we're like, again, shocked. Like, what do you mean the country's closed? What do you mean I can't leave? We're like, oh. So we're actually looking possibly Costa Rica, Maldives, or Madagascar.
Is maybe Aruba in September?
Ooh, Aruba.
If you haven't done that one, think of it.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Okay, and by the way, I'll be there.
Aha! Aha! I like it.
Maybe we'll do a show from there.
Oh, see, now we're talking. We're talking, Alan. Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, I acknowledge and thank you, Evan. I look forward to many more things like this, but also getting together once we're allowed to get together.
Well, I'm okay with breaking the law. So if you want to sit somewhere and we can be 6 feet apart, I'll drive you, man. I'm ready. But I know you got your next show. But appreciate you, Alan. I see, hear, and recognize your greatness, your contribution, really, and taking action, making things happen, and again, truly making the world a better place, and just appreciate you.
Thank you. Now, for everybody out there, please put on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we will be joined once again by John Gray, renowned author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And if you didn't get enough of what you need from Evan, John's book, if you can get Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, that's another one that will help you. But he's going to be on here discussing his latest book, which is called The Boy Crisis, Why Our Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.